Nunca.
Less cozy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's kept me fit so far.
Oh, no, don't update me. Are you all right? Enter code. Why? Get it ready. I don't know what it's doing. Just get one ready because it should not do that. No, it shouldn't. But somebody sent me a code through this afternoon, so I'm wondering if that is.
This is off the authenticator. Have we got an authenticator?
I don't know. It shouldn't be doing that. So let's see if that is it. It's not doing that before.
Well, get into this.
Okay. You should be able to still do modgov without that code. Okay, well, get in
good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this, the Planning Committee of North West Leicestershire District Council. Before we actually go on to the agenda, I'd just like to make a statement regarding one of our colleagues, Councillor David Stevenson. I was informed yesterday that David had been taken into Loros, the hospice in Leicester. I actually phoned Loros to see if that was correct, and I confirmed that he was there. But they wouldn't give any information as to, you know, exactly how poor he is. So I'd like to ask Claire if she'd be kind enough to send a letter from the Planning Committee expressing our, you know, best wishes to both him and his family, please.
Certainly, Chair.
Yeah. I don't think there's any need to take a vote on that.
No, that will get done.
Thank you. So I'll now read the statutory introduction. All persons present are reminded that the meeting may be recorded, and by attending this meeting you are giving your consent to being filmed and your image being used. You are kindly requested to make it known to the chairman if you intend to film or record this meeting. Does anyone wish to film or record? No? Thank you. The council is aware that planning applications may be controversial and emotive for those affected by the decisions made by this committee. However, all persons present are reminded that the council will not tolerate abusive or aggressive behaviour towards staff or other visitors attending this meeting, and anyone behaving inappropriately will be required to leave the meeting and the building. The monitoring officer would like to remind members that when they are considering whether the following items are exempt information under the relevant paragraph under Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Local Government Act, 1972, they must have regard to the public interest test. This means that members must consider that each item, whether the public interest in making the exemption from disclosure, outweighs the public interest in making the item available to the public. So, agenda item 1, apologies for absence. I have apologies from Councillor Alex Bridgen and Councillor Russell Johnson. Councillor David Digby is subbing for Councillor Johnson. Are there any other apologies now for all of you? Thank you. Declarations of interest. All members are aware of the code of conduct. any declarations of interest, would you please state as pecuniary or non-pecuniary to which item it relates and for what reason?
Oddly enough, I've been lobbied on all six chairs by letter or email, but without Tim wants to come here with an open mind. Thank you.
That's all.
Gentlemen, I've been lobbied on A1 and A2 for that.
Thank you, that's all. Councillor Harrison?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been lobbied on A1 and A4. I attend this evening totally open-minded. No influence. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Harrison. Councillor Edwards?
A4 and A5.
Good. Councillor Clark?
I've been lobbied on A1, A2 and A3 without influence, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Councillor Canning?
I've been lobbied on A1, A4 and A5. A1, I have been in attendance to council meetings when that application has been discussed. I'm here with an open mind.
Thank you.
Councillor
White?
I've been lobbied on A4 and A5, still got an open mind.
Councillor Beaver?
I've been lobbied on A4 and A5, and then
thank you. I've also been lobbied on all of the agenda items, so I'll come here with an open mind. Agenda item 3 minutes. Can I confirm the minutes from the last planning committee meeting was on the 1st of October 2019 as an accurate record of the proceedings? And do I have a second? Thank you, Councillor Harrison. All in favour, please show. Thank you. Anyone against? The 1 minute are agreed. Agenda item A1, Employment Development incorporating a mix of B1, B2 and BA use, including new access roads, footpaths, cycleways and green infrastructure, outline all matters other than part access reserve. Land on Carnival Way, Castle Donington. Are any members of the committee required to remove themselves from the consideration of this application? No? Thank you. Please could the planning officer give their presentation.
Thank you, Chair. This is an outline application for employment development with the new classes B1C, which is light industrial, B2, which is general industrial, and B8. Story distribution, and it's on the site of approximately 8.75 hectares on agricultural land at Cornwall Way, South London. Site. The outline application includes proposed vehicle access into the site from Cornwall Way. All other matters are reserved for subsequent approval. Based on the illustrative layout, the proposed units would have a total floor space of almost 24,000 square metres and would range in size between roughly 1,000 and 5,700 square metres. This is Carnival Way, existing Carnival Way, where the proposed vehicle access would be provided. Just a couple of shots of the site from Carnival Way itself. At the north end of the site, there's proposed pedestrian access on existing track. Behind that car there. View along the track itself. This is the northern part of the site. And this is sort of western section, looking sort of south across the site. You can probably just see flags from available car on the right hand side there, which upset the official site. View from the public right of way, which runs on the eastern edge of the site. Primary principal proposals. The site is located outside limits of development as defined in the adopted North West Sussex Local Plans. However, policy S3 does allow for development outside limits of development in certain circumstances and including employment development where it complies with policy EC2. Policy EC2 provides that where evidence indicates an immediate need or demand for additional plot land, the council will consider favourably proposals that meet the identified need in an appropriate location and subject to a number of criteria in respect of accessibility and amenity impact. In support of the proposals, the applicant has provided details of demand for additional units in the Castle London area and has also submitted information to demonstrate why the sites are not available or suitable. Overall, it's considered that the applicant has demonstrated that there would be a need or demand for development, and as such, proposals could potentially comply with policy EC2, subject to complying with the other criteria within policy S3. Just moving on to the vehicle access, and this metric is proposed to go by Conwell Way, and this long existing private road beyond the existing dotted extent of Conwell Way. Access onto the wider network is the end. Carnival Way Station Road, so to show you, you can see on that the existing extent of Carnival Way. So this is Carnival Way, and then there's an existing sort of private section beyond the end, sort of a block page section, so you fall then into the site itself there. And in terms of the accessibility of the site generally, it's considered that it's well served by public transport, given the regular bus services along the station road. And in order to ensure that sustainable means of travel are used by employees, the County Highway Authority recommends the provision of bus passes and travel packs for employees. In respect to the impacts on the wider highway network, the County Highway Authority and Highways England assess the impacts on a number of junctions in the vicinity of the site, and including Salt Crossroads, and they're satisfied that no severe impacts would result on either the local or strategic networks. Noted that objections by residents have been raised on the grounds of potential breach of weight limits by HVs. I'm going to show you the weight limit. That red arrow just shows where the proposed access would be on part of the way. Those hatched areas are the existing areas on the station road, which is subject to the 7.5-ton weight limit. So, in fact, any vehicle, XGP, match, which you access the site, would need to follow that route there, green route into the site. So it is possible to get into and out the site without travelling through weight limits. In terms of the impacts on the countryside, the application is accompanied by a landscape and visual assessment, which has been assessed on the council's behalf by a specialist landscape consultant. The visual envelope from the applicant's landscape visual assessment. What this does is identifies where and regards the contours of the surrounding landscape development. Theoretically, you've seen the contours anywhere within the shown pink on that visual envelope plan. In terms of the extent of countryside involved, I just wanted to show you existing development. This is the area of land between. And that shows business development plan. So everything east of that yellow line is essentially outside of business development, which is the village itself. Just including the application site to see where it sits in relation to business development. One of the criteria within local plan policy S3 requires that any development outside limits of development safeguards and enhances the appearance and character of the landscape. The council's landscape consultant considers that the applicant's landscape and visual assessment underestimates the overall adverse effects of development in landscape and visual terms, and that the scheme does not safeguard and enhance the local landscape. However, it's accepted that the adverse effects would reduce over time and that the effects on the wider landscape would be limited by the lack of longer distance views and the presence of other industrial uses in the area. Policy history also requires development outside limits development does not undermine the physical and perceived separation and open undeveloped character between nearby settlements. The development would result in a reduction in undeveloped area between the settlements of Castle Bunch and Hamilton. whilst the extent of the reduction in the width of the separation between the two villages would vary along the gap. On the basis of the illustrative material submitted application, the proposals would reduce the width of the gap measured in a straight line between the closest buildings in the two villages from around 500 metres to around 338 metres. That plan just shows various points. You can see how the figures actually shows the distances between existing buildings and buildings in the future where the scheme that's shown in illustrative layout built out. The council's landscape consultant considers that development would serve to reduce the physical and perceived separation assessments, and as a result, it's considered that there would be an undermining of the two villages' separate identities. In terms of other technical issues, and including in terms of flood risk, ecology, historic environment, air quality and noise, consider the proposal would be acceptable and that no adverse impacts would arise. Overall, however, whilst the proposals are potentially considered acceptable in principle, notwithstanding the site location outside limits development, officers considered the proposals would, by reducing the physical and perceived gap between Crosslands and Hampton, weaken the separate identities of the two villages, contrary to local plan policy S3, and proof and refusal is therefore recommended. And just draw attention to the update sheet, just a short one, this is clarification in respect of the extent of the site located outside the limits of the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Knightley. Please, could Mr. Sizer, on behalf of Castle Donington Parish Council, come forward to make the representation? You have 3 minutes in total.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Councillor Bob Sizer. I'm the chairman of the Castle Donington Parish Council Planning Committee. Castle Donington Parish Council, along with Lockington Cumhamington, have consistently objected to this application because the site is outside the limits of development, contrary to the North West Leicestershire local plan, and is within the area of separation that would result in a reduction in the separation between Castle Donington and Hamilton. To that end, we totally support the officer's recommendation to refuse this application. The main road through Castle Donington, as you've seen on the photographs, is basically north-south and has a 7.5-ton weight limit on it, which is already contravened on numerous occasions. But the vast majority of the industrial units in Castle Donington is situated to the west of the main road, and after many decades of trying, Castle Donington is now getting a western perimeter relief road. This should have been open by now, but due to delays, it should be open either just before or just after Christmas. The purpose of this road is not only to give access to the new housing estate, but also to take away through traffic and to give HGV access to the Willow Farm and Trent Lane business parks, plus the East Midlands Distribution Centre and to the new industrial units being built by Clough's at the airport end of the new road. All this will hopefully reduce the air pollution problem that we've got in the centre of Castle Donington. If this development is given the go ahead, given the location of the weight limits, the HGV route will be via the Western Relief Road, moving east along Trent Lane. This would then require a right turn into the main road and then a left turn into Canal Way. This is contrary to the purpose of the relief road. As to jobs, Castle Donington and the surrounding area has a very low levels of unemployment, so there is no local support for it, and there would lead to increased traffic coming into the village, including HGVs, which would probably ignore the weight restrictions as is happening at the moment. Castle Donington would like 2 Christmas presents, please. The first one is the opening of the relief road, which should have been opened in July, and the rejection of this planning application. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm afraid we can't promise you Christmas presents. before you leave, if any members of the committee wish to ask you any questions, are you willing to answer them? It'll be purely on a technical basis. If you don't want to, there's no problem whatsoever.
I'll answer them I'll answer them if I possibly can, Chair.
Does any member of the committee wish to ask any questions?
No. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Please put the applicant's agent, Mr. Marshall, come forward to make their representations. You have 3 minutes.
Good evening, thank you, Chair. I'm Andy Marshall, I'm a Chartered Town Plan and representing Brackley Property Developments. This is an application made on behalf of local businesses, many of whom are already located within Castle Donington and wish to expand, whilst others wish to move to Castle Donington or elsewhere along the M1 corridor, not elsewhere within the district. These companies simply cannot find suitably sized premises or land within the town but are ready to expand and to create around 250 jobs. John Potter of Fisher Hargreaves Proctor informs that both Trent Lane and Willow Farm Industrial Estate are at full occupancy. Undeveloped consented employment land within Castle Donington awaits completion of not just the relief road we just heard about, but the resolution of ownership issues. It's not therefore immediately available, nor will it become so in the short term. Thus, the creation and retention of local jobs rests on the immediate delivery of alternative land. This is exactly why policy EC2 exists. If you don't believe us as developers, I'm sure we can arrange a meeting with John Proctor and local businesses on a private confidential basis. Clearly, the companies don't wish to unsettle local staff. Your officer's recommendation offers a single reason for refusal based on failure to comply with one aspect of one policy. In all other aspects, the scheme accords with the local plan. You'd expect the evidence basis then for this one reason to be extensive. Yet your own landscape expert cast doubt as to whether this level of conflict, and I quote, is sufficient to justify refusal. Your officer has cherry-picked some of those words he uses. Your expert accepts that the policy wording is imprecise and capable of interpretation, and leaves the decision in your hands. Your officer's professional opinion is this is finely balanced. On the one hand, you have not only 250 jobs but retention of jobs. On the other, you have a departure from one component of an albeit single but imprecise but important policy. Finally balanced maybe, but national planning policy states significant weight should be placed upon a need to support economic growth taking into account local business needs. I would respectfully suggest these local needs have been underestimated. But the need for employment land appearing as a rather technical benefit in the report, when in fact this is an opportunity for you to support local businesses who are ready, despite uncertainty in the economy, to expand and to continue Castle Donington's proud record of that low unemployment you heard.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marshall. If any members of the committee wish to ask you a question, are you willing to answer?
Of course.
Councillor White. Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Is there any more question? Recently, the council passed a motion about climate change. So I'm asking, can I ask, what are you doing to address your adding carbon footprints to the professorship? Because obviously there's going to be one. So what are you doing to address it?
Yeah, this is an outline application, so the details of the measures that would be in for those details haven't been submitted yet, and that's something that we would take forward in discussion with officers. So if you have any suggestions, by all means, that'd be something we'd be looking to discuss and take forward, reserve matter stage.
Can I just come back, Jan? Can I have assurance then that this will be at the top of your agenda? Because obviously it's at the top of the council's agenda, but it needs to be at the top of every single development now, North West Leicestershire, if not UK.
Yeah, of course, we've come into that.
Does anyone else wish to ask any questions? No?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please put the ward member, Councillor Sackle, whose ward is affected by this application, come forward to make their representations on behalf of the ward. I'd like to remind you, Councillor Sackle, that as a ward member you have 5 minutes.
Chairman, hope to be a lot quicker than that. Chairman, this has been quite a long time in the process of coming before this committee. I think 2.5 years since the first feelers were put out for it. And the Parish Council has been heavily involved in discussing with the developers as why. And really, we can't see any need for this at all. Just to remind members, the northern parishes, capitalised and surrounding villages, have a population of about 15,000. I think the last time we checked, about a month or so ago, there were only 3 people employed in that area. And within the next 15 years, looking at the plans that are coming in for Seagrove and the airport and various other places, we're going to be offering 25,000 jobs in the same area. If you look at the figures, 15,000 people, of which probably less than a third actually have a job or need a job. So 5,000 people needing jobs, and 25,000 jobs within 4 or 5 mile radius. That really is completely the wrong way around. We need more houses, not more jobs. So, you know, this looks attractive in the fact that it offers some more jobs, but they're just not needed. And they're also not needed because within the report you'll see that there's another area about almost exactly the same size as this being positioned right next to the relief road provided by Towns Developments. That will be sure to become available when the relief road opens, and so we don't need this piece of land either. It's all pretty much been mentioned in the report, and I know members will have read it, so I urge them to accept the recommendation by the officers and refuse its application. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sample. If any members of the committee wish to ask you any questions, are you willing to answer?
Sure.
Does anyone wish to ask any questions of Councillor Sample? No?
Thank you, Councillor Sample.
I'll now ask the officers if they have any comments on representation of value. Not at the moment, thank you. I now open the debate up to the committee. Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know the area well. I used to be a Castle Donington councillor. In fact, I'm very proud to say that I fought hard with our previous chief executive to get that relief road built. And it was desperately needed because of problems with that small town and all the byproducts of the traffic and lorries going through it. Jobs is certainly something that's not really what I would think was a high priority. I'm made aware of all the vacancies around the airport and other companies that cannot fill their jobs at the moment. So that's the first point I'd like to make, and it's been made, but I ought to make it as well. I also feel that the outside, out of limits, regarding to our district-wide plan, I think we have to really be a bit firm, otherwise we're going in and out, and clearly that is one of the contentions. The other is an area of separation, because people want identity for the village and the area they live in, and not just eventually pushed together, not knowing who they are. So I would like to support the refuse, so I think it's appropriate for this. It has been discussed over a long period of time, and I've heard comments, never been involved, but I've heard comments of it. But when I've sat this evening, Chairman, and listened and watched the presentations, and then the speaker on behalf of the applicant was talking of more jobs, I realised that that wouldn't really be appropriate. So I support the officer's recommendation. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Councillor
Harrison. Councillor Legree. Thank you. Okay, thank you. I think, committee, this is the first refusal we've had in a long, long time. And I think we need to think carefully as to why it has been refused. The main reason, and we only need one reason to refuse this, and it is the area of separation. Just heard the applicant stating about the need, and I am aware that there is a need for employment opportunities within the wider area, but I do not feel that they have expressed the need in Castle Donington well enough. Come to the area of separation, it was not so long ago we accepted a development in an area of separation, and I was very glad to support that. That was clearly for the need of the people. We were offering a new leisure centre, and that balanced out that area of separation. Also recently we have given permission outside the limits of development to a very large industrial area, and we had a lot of input from the people that wanted that to be built, the industries that were going to go into that, and we could see a clear need. Living in Castle Donington, and I have most of the industrial areas in my area, I know what is available, and I am absolutely delighted to see some of the vacant units that have stayed vacant for so long in Willard Farm. They've just been refurbished and they are available, and that's exactly the type of size that this applicant is saying that they're going to be developing. All right, whole range have just come onto the market. If it's land that they need, you've already heard Councillor Saffell saying there's a similar size plot that will be available. In the Willer Farm area, there is one of about 30,000 square feet, and there is one of 41,500 square feet. And that's been there for some 20, 25 years, still not being taken, still not to be developed. So I would be questioning the need for this in Castle Donington. If you need larger, look no further than the East Midlands Distribution Centre, because they have got a plot of land. I run past it because I'm being fit and healthy. I run past it every day, and those have plots between 30 and 300,000 available. That is within our limits on a brownfield site. That is where I would like to see units being put, our industry being placed, before you start going outside the limits of development. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Legree. I'm particularly concerned about the notion that it was, well, okay, we will go into beyond the limits of development, into the area of separation. Is that we worked long and hard on a cross-party basis to actually develop boundaries of development, boundaries for the areas of separation and so on. Rachel's absolutely right. Is that the decision of here, the decision for the leisure centre, is a totally different kettle of fish. I think that I get incensed, Chair, of developers that are just poking two fingers up at us over these applications, thinking they can get away with it, and I think it's wrong. I will be supporting officers' recommendation that we get to the vote on this issue, Chair, because I think it's the right thing to do. My colleague, who represents the village, is deeply concerned that development is getting closer and closer to Blockington, and yes, and I think that is the right thing to do, is that the village, two villages up there, Lockington and Hemington, are under a lot of pressure for development, particularly with the, what I said, all the Rock Sill development, I believe it's changed its name, with the developments going on up there and the developments of Sawley and on the A50. So therefore, Chair, is that this recommendation that's in front of us from officers, I will be supporting.
Thank you, Councillor Gray. Do you want to come in now, or
just a point of clarification in terms of the planning policy that we're dealing with here. This area of land isn't actually formally designated as an area of separation in the local plan. The land is outside limits of development, and the reason for refusal before you is on the basis of the perceived loss of the separation between the two settlements. So I just wanted members to be absolutely clear that they're not refusing application on the basis that it's a loss of an area designated separation. So that's what I need to say.
Point taken, Chair.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. We heard more houses, not more jobs. We do actually need jobs. We need jobs that are closer to population as well. A lot of the jobs that are coming up and have been talking about at the airport and on bigger sites will require transport to get there. Councillor White mentioned about the green footprint and the carbon footprint. So we need jobs where people can actually walk or cycle with ease. But that said, I note as well that there are no ecological reasons for refusal and no objections such as from authorities. And I see many things in favour of permitting his application. However, that said, there is one thing that is in many ways overriding all those, and that is the area of separation. And I don't think we can start, we shouldn't start taking that for development of any sort, whether it be industrial development or housing, because that is a threat to all the villages in Leicester. And I cannot support this application because it is taking the area of separation. I will be voting with the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor
Leeper,
did you wish to speak?
Yes, I think Councillor Clark has just said almost exactly what I was going to say, but I will reiterate it. And notwithstanding what Mr. Olsen said about this not being designated as an official area of separation, I think this part of policy S3 is one of the most important policies we have for protecting our countryside. And I would hate to see a precedent set at this stage of actually undermining that policy. So I should also be voting with the officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Digby. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm just voting the officer because of it. More than I'm a big believer in areas of separation, but the big thing for me here is Rockington and Hemington with East Midlands Gateway on the other side that was surrounded by warehouses but were in the morning. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Councillor Holmes. Does anyone else wish to speak? No, thank you. Do the officers have any comments? No, thank you. I'd therefore like to call for a motion on this application. Councillor Canning?
I'd like to move that we would go with officer's recommendation and refuse this application. Thank you.
I'll second that, Chair.
I've just been moved and seconded. As a recorded vote is required, the Democratic Service Officer will read out each name in turn. Please indicate whether you are for the motion, against the motion, or wish to abstain. Claire?
Okay. Councillor Bohm?
For the motion.
Councillor Canning?
For the motion.
Councillor Clark?
For the motion.
Councillor Everett?
For the motion.
Councillor Harrison?
For the motion.
Councillor Holt?
For.
Councillor Bigby?
For.
Councillor Legree?
For.
Councillor Smith?
For.
Councillor Wyatt?
For.
Unanimous, Chair.
Thank you, that is unanimous. Therefore, the officer's recommendation to refuse has been passed. Thank you. We now move on to agenda item A2 and A3. Variation of condition 3 of planning permission to allow the number of guests to be increased to 40 at any time and to remove the requirement for the additional sleeping accommodation to be used only for holiday rentals in conjunction with ancillary to those staying at Highfields Manor, and the variation of condition 2 on planning application 130792 to allow the number of guests to be increased to 40 at any time for no more than 135 days per year, no more than 40 weekends a year, and removal of condition 3 to allow for 2 holiday rental booths to use the site at any one time. This is Highfields Manor, Brimston Road, Belton, Loughborough. Are any members of the committee required to remove themselves from the consideration of this application? No, thank you. It is proposed that the applications A2 and A3 will be considered together, and then each application will be voted on separately.
Please, for the relevant planning officer, present their report. Pat, please.
Thank you, Chair. This presentation relates to two planning applications for the variation of conditions attached to two historical planning applications which relate to the use of Highfields Manor, Robson Road, and short term holiday lets. To provide some context, Highfields Manor occupies a relatively isolated position set back from the public highway. The site has two wings of accommodation, the south wing and the west wing. The south wing relates to the main Highfields Manor and a garage which has been converted into holiday let accommodation. The west wing relates to the granary, which is a two-storey converted outbuilding. The living accommodation within Highfields Manor can also be rearranged to provide conference facilities for business groups visiting the site. Both permissions restrict the amount of days, weekends that the site can be occupied for holiday rental purposes and restrict the number of guests to 24 people. The permissions also require that the south and west wings are not let out independently of each other. The current application seeks to increase the number of guests using the site at any one time to 40, and seeks to allow for the accommodation to be used by two separate holiday lit groups at any one time. The main issue in the determination of this application is the impact on neighbouring residential amenities. The nearest neighbours are Highfields Cottage and Highfields House, although Highfields Cottage is some distance from the holiday let accommodation and is separated from the site by brick outbuildings. The main impact would be on Highfields House. The next three photos were taken from Highfields House, which is currently being renovated, and will have various habitable room windows facing the site as detailed in the officer report. The main part of Highfields House is separated from the site by private amenity space. Highfields House itself is located approximately 2 metres from the granary, 18 metres from Highfields Manor and 17 metres from the converted garage. Its private amenity space abuts the paved area around the granary. Environmental protection has been consulted on the application, raised no objections to the proposal, subject to the condition restricting amplified music within external areas, given the increased number of guests proposed. The main neighbours' concerns relate to the increase in the number of guests, exacerbating noise disturbance which arises from cheering by groups of people, noise from drunken persons, amplified music, groups talking, laughing, shouting on external patio areas, taxis arriving for pick-ups and drop-off, and increased traffic intrusion during the day and late into the evening due to vehicles entering the neighbouring property in error. Longbottom and Dyson Parish Council has no objection in principle, subject to the concerns of the neighbouring property being fully considered. In response to these concerns, the agent has provided a site plan showing how they have been recently managing external activity by providing seating in designated areas within the eastern part of the site away from the neighbour's property. There are also steps outside the granary where guests could informally sit in order to seek to discourage activity in this location. High standing planters have been provided to prevent gatherings. The area immediately adjacent to the boundary is used within storage to discourage activity in this location. 9 metres conifer trees also occupy the western boundary beyond the bin store area. The applicant has confirmed that they would be agreeable to a condition restricting external amplified music at the premises. The current planning permissions allow for 24 guests to occupy the site at any one time in connection with a single holiday let group. However, planning permission has been granted at the site for sleeping accommodation for up to 40 people. And as a consequence, groups of more than 24 people have been visiting the site, which is confirmed by both the applicant and the neighbouring objective. Overall, when having regard to the permitted use of the site, the level of sleeping accommodation, which has provided the potential for the business to expand, the suggested mitigation proposals to control external activity on site, and the condition recommended by environmental protection, it is not considered on balance that a reason for refusal based on a significant impact on neighbouring residential amenities could be sustained. And approval is recommended subject to conditions. I'll just draw members' attention to the update sheet that sets out any further comments that have been received from the neighbouring resident in respect of a noise recording and a suggested condition concerning amplified noise.
Thank you. Could the objector, Mr. Bedford, please come forward to make their representation? Because both of them are being read together, you have 6 minutes to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our concern with the application was an increase in two problems we already have with the holiday lets: noise disturbance and traffic intrusion. By allowing the increase in number of guests, allowing one group of guests at any time, both of these problems will be exacerbated. Our only request is for a normal existence alongside our neighbours. We are the only neighbouring property close to the applicant. We bought the property in 2014, and the applicant had recently been granted permission to use the manor for holiday rentals, subject to the conditions imposed. Conditions have been consistently ignored. We've lived at the property for 2 years and moved out to a major renovation, as mentioned, which is still in progress. During the 2 years, we experienced reduced quality of life in the rentals at Highfield Manor. In spite of our objections, permission was granted in 2018 to increase sleeping capacity to 40 from 24. Regarding noise issues, it's important to understand that the nature of the applicant's business results in constant change of customers who have no reason to pay normal neighbour respect, but as far as they're concerned, they've paid a lot of money to party for the weekend. Whilst I acknowledge that not every group hires for a party, we have endured many weekends with rowdy behaviour into the early hours. The guests congregate on the outdoor patio areas, and although we agree the applicants have provided additional patio areas away from us, they have often gathered on the large front patio and main steps immediately outside the front door, which is adjacent to our own garden and patio. This is typically where the noise occurs. Noise disturbance is not just restricted to party groups, although these are literally the worst. Regarding amplified music, the applicant states that amplified music outdoors is strictly forbidden. This house rule has not been adhered to on many occasions, and we have proof of text messages and emails we have sent to the applicants asking for music to be turned off. I have an audio clip, I believe the council does too, from March this year, available for anyone to listen to if they choose to. The environmental officer has recommended no amplified music between 11 p.m. and 9 a.m. Monday to Sunday. I'd like to raise the question, just genuinely, with all the committee members here, how anyone would feel if they could tolerate amplified music in close proximity to their own garden, say, the week throughout the year, potentially from 9 in the morning to 11 at night. The applicants claim that their strict house rules are enforced, but we are witness to the fact that whilst anything can be claimed on paper, the reality is that behaviour of guests can't be controlled by the owners of the buildings. I particularly emphasise this is the case when the applicants are away. Regarding traffic disturbances, staff now, both for Highfield Manor and for our own house, Highfield's house, is not accurate. I point out that Google Maps pinpoint the property accurately. But this, of course, fails to acknowledge that everyone travelling to the manor will be using sat-nav to find it. They have their house name as part of the ironwork of the gates, and this is only seen at the point of driving by the gates. Given that the road has a 50-mile-an-hour limit, it's no surprise that very many visitors actually miss this sign. Our house has a white sign which is clearly visible from my direction at the roadside. Upon seeing the wording, Highfield's house, our own property, guests regularly mistakenly drive up to our front or rear entrance asking if this is indeed Highfield Manor. We have asked our neighbours many times to improve their signage and have been promised that it would be done straight away, but as yet it has not happened. I should point out that booked guests arriving is not the only traffic we get intended for the manor. We also have had marquee lorries. We've had associated food deliveries, taxis, equipment deliveries, extra guests, all unfortunately making the same mistake. The increased number of guests and multiple bookings at one time will clearly end result in more traffic. The original conditions were applied for very good reasons, to give protection both in terms of the surrounding land uses and also to nearby residential properties. We feel it's only fair to ask that the existing conditions are kept in place and without variation. I would, however, like to ask how the 135 days and 40 weekends condition is monitored or checked by the council. There's no evidence of any adherence to this condition. Can I also point out that in 2014, a weekend hire was from Friday 4 p.m. to Sunday 10 a.m, but this is now extended from Friday midday to Monday midday, considering extending the duration of stay, potentially. In addition, we would specifically ask for the following new conditions to be applied across the site. A ban rather than a restriction on any type of amplified music outdoors at any time, Monday to Sunday. And approved clear signage to be installed for Highfields Manor by a given date. Appreciate you listening to my representation and confirm that the recording is available if the committee wish to listen to it.
Thank you, Mr. Bedford. I'm advised that we should not listen to the recording because it has not been substantiated as our legal label will expand upon that.
It's fine, yeah. No problem.
The Speaker's guidance reiterates that late or photographs or video recordings are not authorised at committee, and as the Chair said, because the video recording hasn't been corroborated, my advice to the members is that it should not be made today.
Thank you. If any members of the committee wish to ask any questions, are you willing to answer?
Yeah, sure.
Councillor Wise.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. You mentioned that there's problems with various problems with noise and signage. So what would you like to see added to this application if it's appointed to be permitted to make sure that these issues are addressed? Can you just outline exactly what you would like to see added?
Thank you. I think the very clearly the request is the roadside signage to make it abundantly clear for their visitors to see immediately where the property is, avoid confusion. The request, while I respect the fact that the applicant intends there's no music played outdoors, I do simply ask that it is banned from being played outdoors, amplified music, at any time, which I believe would be a normal, respectful thing, given the circumstances. They're my two main requests, alongside the fact that the main conditions which were put forward by the council for very good reasons. The reasons haven't changed. It was respect for the neighbouring properties, and I respect the council's original opinion in putting those conditions forward. Is that clear?
Can I just come back to the chairman? So you're saying if these are added to it, you're fairly happy with the application being permitted?
Well, I do believe the original conditions relating to numbers and separate letting being restricted should be kept in place too. They were both put there for very specific reasons by Joe Mixon, right name, originally as a condition, and I don't believe anything has changed in terms of the need for those conditions, and I would very much request that those conditions are kept in place. It hasn't, unfortunately, it isn't as if those existing conditions have been adhered to as they are. As many communications between my neighbours and myself would confirm that's the situation. So without permission, they've been abused. And as far as I see it, the question on the table today is, should they be given permission to extend those numbers and more flexibility in rental, which the previous conditions haven't even been adhered to.
Thank you. Councillor Bigburn.
Thank you. One of your concerns is that people are mistaking your property and the applicant's property, and there's some confusion about the naming of the two properties. Can I just ask whether you have discussed with the applicant the possibility of renaming one of the properties to remove that confusion?
Thank you. I would ask that the applicants have mentioned that to myself. Our house was called Highfields House some 300 years ago, I believe, and on that account I and for various other reasons, I believe our house is the one that should retain its name. If they would like to change the name of theirs, I don't have a problem with that.
Thank you. It's not a laughing matter, but I appreciate where you're coming from. Oh, I have the same trouble with my house. I mean, the Royal Mount could never find it. It's been there 300 years, but still. Does anyone else wish to? Councillor.
Have you contacted planning enforcement about these breakdowns in the restrictions that were put on the planning? And what was the response?
Yes, we have contacted enforcement a number of times from a number of different aspects, and I think I'm right in saying it's proved difficult to come up with evidence. There was monitoring equipment put forward, as was made known to the applicants, and clearly not all the time is the situation there, should I say, or it's not very well put, but and on a given weekend when monitoring equipment was put there, there was an issue, which I fully accept that as well. The issue is at random. Unfortunately, we live there full time and we do, so obviously it affects us any time it does. The council have been supportive, but this is where we are at the moment.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to ask any more questions? No? Thank you very much for your presentation. I'll now ask Officer Sproutfoot to comment on that card, please.
Just check, Chair, which point would you like? Obviously, if the applicant were prepared to accept a condition, then we would oppose it, but it isn't something that we could reasonably ask from an important enforcement point of view. but obviously, if that's something that the applicant chooses to accept, we
would have to oppose that. Thank you. Could I please ask the applicant agent days to come forward to make their representation. You have 6 minutes.
Thank you. Good evening, members. My name is Kay Davis, and I'm speaking on behalf of the applicants, Mr. and Mrs. Pilcher, in favour of the two variation conditions applications before you, which both relate to Highfields Manor. Highfields Manor is a large house that has planning permission with bedrooms accommodating up to 40 people. The property comprises a south wing and a west wing, which can be hired as one or by two separate groups. The applicants live on site and have run their business there successfully for almost 8 years. The reason for this application is simply to regularise conditions in line with the permitted number of bedrooms at the property. The original consent, coupled with a more recent expansion, physically allowed accommodation of up to 40 people. However, the conditions attached only allow up to 24 guests at any one time. We believe this is an oversight, as clearly the expansion of the property to allow the additional bedrooms was permitted, but the condition detailing the number of guests was not increased in line. As such, the conditions are no longer directly related to the development. Therefore, the applicant seeks to amend the conditions to allow up to 40 guests. No objections are raised aside from the neighbour who has just spoken, who raises concerns over noise and traffic. Since the application was lodged, plans have been submitted, which you've seen before you today, to show methods in place to protect amenity of the neighbouring property. This includes measures to prevent people congregating near the property boundary and the provision of seating away from the neighbouring property near to the swimming pool and spa area, which have shared facilities. The separation distance between the outside seating and the shared facilities ensures that noise will be minimised. The site is used by corporate, faith and family groups. Whilst there have previously been noise complaints by the same neighbour to environmental protection, none of these complaints have been upheld and the cases have been closed. Moreover, Environmental Protection has not objected to the application, requiring only one condition, that no amplified music should be allowed after 11 o'clock. This is fully agreed by the applicant. In addition, I would say that following the discussions earlier, we've spoken to the applicant and we would accept a condition banning any amplified music at all times. The claims that there's been increased traffic intrusion on the neighbouring properties we consider are unfounded. The site clearly states the names of the gates and directions that the applicants put on the website do take them straight to the house. Highways have raised no objection, but again, in having further discussions, the applicant is happy to accept a condition requiring additional signage. So the proposals, in summary, are in line with planning policy and mitigation is in place to prevent perceived impacts on the neighbouring property. I would therefore ask you to support this local business and follow your officer recommendation to grant planning permission. Thank you.
Thank you. If any members of the committee wish to ask any questions, are you willing to answer?
Yes.
Thank you. Before I throw it over to the committee, I would just like to comment that I would have thought that the proximity between the two buildings, the request for external amplification music is need to be banned is not unreasonable. I mean, I would not live next door to a disco, which is the final thing that we're hearing. Also, the cost of putting a sign up and changing the name again, I would consider to be a very, very minor condition for your people to accept. But anyway, that's my opinion. I'll throw it over to the committee now. Who? I think it was Councillor Legree, then Councillor Wyatt, and then Councillor Cannon.
Interested to know is that you say that the applicant lives on site. Is there somebody on? I've got a number of questions, Chair. Is that my first question? Is that is there somebody on the ownership side or the applicant side there at all times when the property is being let? My second question to you is that I can't understand if there is somebody on the property all the time and why it's leading to these complaints. Obviously, I read so far the report and everything else has come through that it is not being properly policed. And my question to you on that second point is why?
I believe that that the applicants do live on site, just to clarify that particular point. They live, it's just shown on the, just next to the west wing there, point seven now I can. So they are on site, yeah, just there. And I believe that they are on site. I don't know, I can't hand on heart say they're on site 24 hours a day. I don't believe that they are because people live their normal lives, but they are on site when there are groups there the majority of time, and there is a telephone number if there are any issues. One of the other things that we've talked about is if there are two different groups on site, they effectively police each other, not that there are issues the majority of the time. I think the neighbours think about occasionally. The applicant has run the site for 8 years. It's very much a family and corporate facility. It's absolutely, they did not allow stag do's, hen do's. It's not that kind of property.
Chair, with respect, you've not answered my second part question, which is why is the objector continuing to complain if it's constantly being policed?
What I would say is that I know that the neighbouring property has been empty for 2 years. It's been renovated. I'm not sure how often the neighbouring family are on site. I know enforcement have been out from an environmental point of view on, I think, about four occasions, and they've never actually found an issue with the operation of the site.
Thank you. Councillor Calliates.
Thank you. I just wondered what information was given to guests about their behaviour, their conduct, keeping quiet, and how the owners ensured that that happened.
Thank you for asking that question. There are very strict rules that I know the applicants operate that site under. It is their home, they live there, and they're very conscious of how it operates. There are fines in place if, for instance, if amplified music is used. I think there's a £350 fine, very clearly stated on their website before anybody even books. And there are significant deposits taken if there are any issues. So in terms of policing, that was the previous question, the owners take things very seriously. They only want a certain standard of guests coming to their property, and they are fiercely wanting to maintain their reputation.
Can I just come back on that one? So we have not heard, and it's not been substantiated, but obviously there are recordings of the noise. Would these be occasions when fines were issued? And, you know, have fines been issued, let's say, in the last year?
I don't believe there have been fines issued in the last year. We have been made aware that alleged recordings have been made, but those recordings, I don't think, can be substantiated. I've listened to them, but I don't know where that music is coming from. So, as I say, the operation of the site is very much regimented and run by the owners who live on site. So they've not had calls for any particular issues in the last year that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Thank you. Councillor Wyatt?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Just a couple of things. One, you know, such a large area like this, surely you must have CCTV on the premises. Do you have CCTV to keep an eye on your establishments would have those, especially in the reception area or areas which are unsafe. But also, can you just clarify, are you saying that as part of one of the conditions you're happy for exercise and ban on amplified music? Would you also be, you know, the idea of looking at a 12-month review?
Just coming on the CCTV, I actually am not 100% sure I'm looking at the applicants. CCTV, but they were advised, given that there's swims calls in the area, that that wasn't appropriate to keep going. So they don't operate CCTV.
Just before you answer the other two questions, on CCTV, would it be more advisable to have CCTV outside at least, because of security and also incidents of such vehicle problems with neighbours?
That might be something that I think the applicants will be considered further. Just in terms of the answers to the other questions, so to clarify, that the applicants would be willing to accept the condition on no amplified music at all times, on all days, and then in terms of the signage, they would accept a condition requiring clear signage at the entrance of Highfield Square. And in terms of the review, I presume that is asking for the only way I could see that is a temporary consent. I think that the applicants are, one of the issues here is planning permission has already been granted to accommodate 40 guests on site. So my view would be this committee or the planning or planning officers, I'm sure only the county committee is not, has already granted consent for that many people to be on site.
Can I stop you there? Sure. And I'll ask our legal advice on that.
Okay.
Okay, but I'll ask that when we've finished asking you questions. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chairman. You mentioned, am I correct saying that you, stag do's and hen do's are not part of it, but corporate are. Corporate do's are permissible and bought.
That is correct, yeah.
Right, I've been on many corporate do's. I find them noisier, more disrespectful, less considerate than any stag do that I've ever been on in my life. And not forgetting the old adage that alcohol causes deafness.
We're getting into a debate situation.
There's a question.
We can debate later, please. We'll get to your question.
There is a question. What monitoring is done of corporate events where people are drinking alcohol because they do get very, very noisy?
I'll come back to how the house operates. So it's got a quick, clear list of house rules and they have to be complied with. The owners are on site, and if there are any particular issues, there is zero tolerance.
Thank you. Councillor Bigley.
Thank you. I obviously object to a question about thinking about changing the names. I think it's only fair to ask you the same question.
I don't think there's a proposal to change the name, but we're quite willing to put clear signage up at the entrance.
It's not a planning issue, the name of the venue, but you have indicated that you will do that in any case. Right, thank you.
I can just pick up on the temporary consent point. In my advice is that the conditions already agreed to be agreed on the planning permission. In my opinion, it would have been necessary to have a review or in other words, temporary consent.
Thank you, Stephen. That's been taken into account additional conditions that have been suggested. I'll then ask the officers if there are any comments. So the officers have indicated with the additional conditions they would be happy with that. I'll now open the debate up to the committee. Councillor White.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. After listening, so. Both parties have been saying that I would support it as long as we could add in another condition, which would be about CCTV outside. I think that would help because it would allow the enforcement team to be able to verify certain things while going on if they're reported, and also safety is an issue. So CCTV, extra signage, a ban on amplified music, I would really support it as long as those conditions are added.
Thank you, Councillor White. I'll take advice on the CCTV aspect.
Excuse us.
The advice that I've been given by our legal department and the chief planning officer that we can't really ask for it as a condition. However, if the applicant is willing to install it and have it pointing away from the swimming pool, then we'd be more than willing to accept that, but we can't actually condition it. But we could put that in a note to the applicant requesting it, and that is what the committee suggested. I know that sounds a bit woolly, Councillor White, but I'm sorry for that's the way it is. Who is next? That's a big one.
Thank you. The applicant
dwelling, and that this is some sort of oversight that it wasn't corrected at the time to allow the letting to put the occupants. I wonder if the officers could clarify that situation, just tell us whether it was an oversight or whether these are two completely different subjects.
Can I just bring in Councillor Harris and now the officers to cover all of the points? Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel as though most of the debate's been had, really, with some of those comments. My concern is that I can remember probably a year or so ago, we had a similar holiday let, and there was lots of concern about management on site. What happens if there's problems? The main problem is obviously people are there enjoying themselves, and there's nobody officially to walk up and say, I'm sorry, you've got to be able to do A, B or C. And the way the language was, nearly all the time somebody was there, so I would have concern about that, because that would open the door to a behaviour that's very relaxed and probably very noisy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor?
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy that the applicant is willing to accept the two conditions, the exercise and the light music to the band outside. A little bit concerned about signage. It seems as though it's been mentioned before in the past and it's not been done. And so I think we should make sure the that does go through, and I'll be able to support it. That we see it through and make sure that it is.
If permission is granted, there can be a definite condition put on the permission, but that has to happen. Councillor Cannon.
Thank you. I have sympathies both ways, actually. The neighbour, with the noise of parties, I have a very sensitive husband, and whenever we are not on holiday, if there is noise, if there's revelry across the other side of the bay, he hears it. And even if it's not there, he's awake in bed waiting for it. And I suspect this is what the neighbour is feeling. It's the anticipation of when you've had repeated loss of sleep and you've had a lot of disturbance, whether it actually happens or not, you've got this feeling and you are on edge and anything is going to add to it. And so I have a lot of sympathies there. On the other side, he did say that when he bought that property, the permission had already been given for this property to be used as a holiday let. So if you were going to be upset by noise, then maybe that was something you should have been thinking about when you were actually purchasing it. So to my mind, what is absolutely needed, it's the tightening up of the controls. I think the neighbour would be a lot happier if he felt that he wasn't helpless and that he was listened to and that enforcement was happening. And I've heard what he's said, you know, every time enforcement has been out, nothing's happened. And it is one of those things. Maybe you didn't have my family around for the weekend because we'd be noisy. You know, if we all got together, just having a nice family time, I know we would be noisy. And that's not through doing anything untowards. So I think it is tightening up on enforcement and making sure that satisfies all round, and then I would be happy to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenny. Council agree, and then we'll go to the officers.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a little bit concerned on a number of issues that we've discussed here. I agree entirely with Rachel's comments about building being purchased in 14, full knowledge that this was a holiday let operation. I'm also very consciously aware that there is a clash or a difference between different planning permissions and these things have happened in the past, and I'm not pointing a finger at anything. My concern, Chair, is that we talk about amplified music. As a spouse of a musician, stringed instruments, I probably, and people have objected many times, when the instruments are being played a long period of time. They're not amplified, but the music continues. And if this let was let to, say, a harp school of teenagers that would be playing to late at night, it's not amplified yet, but there's no conditions to go on. And the other issue, Chair, is the fact is that we're talking about amplified music. Is that what about amplified speech? Is that there may be a let, maybe the commercial lets, is that budding politicians may be taught how to use PA systems, how to be open. That sounds ridiculous, Chair, I accept that, but we're focusing on amplified music, we're focusing on signage. Signage on the building will require planning permission from this authority. Any additional signage on the highway will require permission and payment to the highway authority, which we have absolutely no control over. So how can we make a condition to the signage is increased without the knowledge that it will be approved by the highway authority? We obviously have a neighbour dispute here, and one of the things that we talked as sitting on the planning committee is that we don't get involved in private neighbour disputes. I feel sorry for both sides on this particular issue. A planning application has been lawfully made, and we've got to consider that. And the part and parcel of this authority's drive to encourage more tourism and more leisure facilities throughout the whole of the district is that we're going to get lots more of these applications, Chair, particularly for large properties in rural areas. So be it. I'm told, I think many members are told between the rights and wrongs of this, I'm not going to get involved in a neighbour dispute. I'm flagging up with the committee is that we're discussing issues here or conditions that we have no control over as a planning committee. And if things start going wrong in the future, if planning permission is granted this evening, is that we're making possibly even a rod for our own back, or a rod for officers in other departments of the authority, Chair. And I'll be very cautious about laying down conditions that we have no control over. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Green. As I understand it, and I'll ask the officers to expand on it, we could increase the requirement from music to also amplified speech. I think we've got enough politicians in the Northwest to see if we don't want any more. And also, as far as the signage is concerned, I believe there are conditions that we can put forward which are acceptable that we can do. But I'll ask the officers to cover all the points that have been made. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just coming back on Councillor Bigby's point, first about the level of sleeping accommodation versus the number of users at the site. Previous planning permissions did increase the capacity of sleeping spaces to 40, but that planning permission was accompanied by a note to applicants advising the applicant that the original permission limits the use of the site to 24 persons, and to avoid breach of condition and subsequent enforcement action, the number of guests at the site must be limited to 24. If you wish to increase that number, a variation of condition should be submitted, amending the original condition, which is the application that we're now currently considering. So it wasn't an oversight, but it was made clear to the applicant that was the case. Just coming back on a couple of other points, in relation to the signage at the site frontage, the intention there would be for the signage to be on the applicant's land and not on the highway, not within the highway boundary, to avoid issues with the highway authority. And with regards to the issue of the site being let out to the harp school, I think where we'd be in that situation is that any noise that does take place on the site, amplified or otherwise, would still be subject to any statutory nuisance, which the Council's Environmental Protection Team could investigate at any point in time.
Could
Could I ask our environmental officers to comment?
Thank you, Chairman. It may assist if we were the conditioners after 5 North, and then it would be all the
thank you. Right, members, I don't think anybody else wishes to speak. If they do, talk, we need to move on. I'll now call for a motion on the application, if I could, please.
Mr. Chairman, can I just ask for clarity?
We're going to actually do that.
So, the Chair's moving a motion that the application be recommended for approval subject to the two additional conditions along with the previous conditions. Those conditions referring to proper signage and a restrictions on amplified noise.
Self proposed, if there are any.
Council Holters seconded that.
So we would need 2 votes.
Yep. So we will. So then Texas Officer will be there each time in turn. Please indicate whether you're for the motion, against the motion, or wish to abstain. It's on application A2.
Okay.
Councillor Bohm.
For.
Councillor Canny.
For.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Everett.
For.
Councillor Harrison.
For.
Councillor Holt.
For.
Councillor Bigby.
For.
Councillor Legree.
For.
Councillor Smith.
For.
Councillor Wyatt.
Against.
So that's 9 for the motion and 1 against the motion.
Therefore the motion is permitted. I'll now call for a motion on application A3. I will move that as I move the A2. Does anyone wish to second that? The Councillor Hart will second it. As a recorded vote is required, the Democratic Service Officer will read out each name in turn. Please indicate whether you are for the motion, against the motion, or wish to abstain.
Councillor Bohm.
For.
Councillor Canny.
For.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Everett.
For.
Councillor Harrison.
For.
Councillor Holt.
For.
Councillor Bigby.
For.
Councillor Legree.
For.
Councillor Smith.
For.
Councillor Wyatt.
Against.
And again, that's 9 for the motion and 1 against.
It is therefore approved. Thank you. We now move on to agenda item A4. Change of use of a tattoo shop to a A5 hot food takeaway use, installation of flue to rear and alteration to shop front, 68 to 70 Beaver Road, Colville. Are any members of the committee required to remove themselves from the consideration of this application? No, thank you. I would like to draw members' attention to the change of recommendation. Detailed in the update sheet. It is recommended the application be deferred for allowing for further consultation to take place with the County Highways Authority. The further consultation would allow an opportunity for the CHA to assess the information and consider whether their own traffic accident affects its previous recommendation.
I move, Chair.
Thank you.
Second.
Moved by Councillor Legree, seconded Councillor Clark. We need as a recorded vote as before.
This is a move to defer.
Yes, this is a move. Sorry, Councillor Legree. This is a move to the recommendation.
Okay. Councillor Bohm.
For.
Councillor Canny.
For.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Everett.
For.
Councillor Harrison.
For.
Councillor Holt.
For.
Councillor Bigby.
For.
Councillor Legree.
For.
Councillor Smith.
For.
Councillor Wyatt.
For.
Unanimous, Chair.
Thank you. We now move on to agenda item A5. Proposed additional use hot food takeaways to existing C1 and A3 use, the halfway house 128 Beaver Road, Colville, Leicestershire. Are any members of the committee required to remove themselves from the consideration of this application? No, thank you. I would like to draw members' attention to the change of recommendation detailed in the update sheet. It is recommended that application be deferred to allow further consultation to take place with the County Highways Authority, CHA. The further consultation would allow an opportunity for the CHA to assess the information and to consider whether the road traffic accident affects its previous recommendation. So I will move that.
I'll second.
And okay. Councillor Green has seconded, and that is obviously for deferment. As a recorded vote is required, the Democratic Service Officer will read out each name in turn. Please indicate whether you are for the motion, against the motion, or wish to abstain.
Okay. Councillor Bohm.
For.
Councillor Canny.
For.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Everett.
For.
Councillor Harrison.
For.
Councillor Holt.
For.
Councillor Bigby.
For.
Councillor Legree.
For.
Councillor Smith.
For.
Councillor Wyatt.
For.
Unanimous again, Chair.
Thank you. Agenda item A6, demolition of the two Dutch barns and erection of one dwelling and single-storey garage with annex accommodation. Outline access and layout included. This is Manor Farm, Main Street, Breedon on the Hill, Derbyshire. Are any members of the committee required to remove themselves from the consideration of this application? Thank you. I would like to draw members' attention to the change of recommendation detailed within the update sheet. In light of the late communication with the two objectors and the comments they have now made, it is considered the application should be deferred and reported back to Planning Committee in December, which will allow officers to consider the further comments received and give the neighbouring occupiers the opportunity to speak and set out their concerns about the application to the Planning Committee. I will move that. Seconded by Councillor Green. As a recorded vote is required, the Democratic Service Officer will read out each name in turn. Please indicate you whether you are for the motion, against the motion, or wish to abstain. Sinclair?
Yep. Right. Councillor Bohm. Councillor Canny?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Everett?
For.
Councillor Harrison?
For.
Councillor Holt?
For.
Councillor Bigby?
For.
Councillor Legree?
For.
Councillor Smith?
For.
Councillor Wyatt?
For.
Unanimous again, Chair.
Thank you. Thank everyone for their attendance and contribution to the meeting this evening, and I now declare the meeting closed. Thank you all.
Home we go.
Home we go.
Yeah.